Well, you know my theory. It's the 20% of the people on the far right and the 20% on the far left that are ruining this country for the rest of us. We deserve better.
The Andy Finch Show. Something special in the airwaves.
We deserve better.
Well, not only do you deserve better, but you get better because we are here and we are better than all the rest. Tougher than all the rest, too, as Bruce would say.
That's right.
So, I can't wait any longer, as long as we're talking about conspiracy theorists, than to deal with this whole issue about WMD, because there are two pieces of news this week. And this kind of gets back to something that happened tonight. A friend at Toastmasters, someone did a presentation. Usually Toastmasters is not at all political. You know, we say the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning. You believe that? I say the Pledge of Allegiance almost every week of my life now, Mike, and I'm not even in grammar school anymore. And it's a patriotic organization, but they resist political, like they don't want you to do speeches where you take positions on tough political issues and that. There are plenty of speech topics, and I've never done a political speech. I've done my 20%er speech, saying I believe that the answer's in the middle, but that's not real controversial with the average American. But a friend got up and made the comment following a presentation that, well, the reason we have an alternate media now is that the mainstream media have no credibility, right? And this seed has been planted mostly by Rush Limbaugh. And what's interesting now, Rush is now calling the mainstream media, he used to use the term mainstream media, he now likes the term drive-by media, because it implies that they do slipshod work and don't do their homework, I think, and they just publish whatever comes into their heads. Kind of like the way talk radio hosts do their shows.
I was going to say.
But in fact, the New York, one of the reasons it's the paper of record, and one of the reasons newspapers are owed a great debt by all of us, is that they're the ones spending the money to actually get the reporting and dig up the stories and write them up and edit them and check their facts before they publish anything. When you see something in the New York Times, you can be pretty sure it's right, which is why when they publish something that's wrong, it's such a big deal. And there's a retraction and a big to-do about it and a big embarrassment because they don't publish stuff unless it's right. Now, I'll get to this later in the show, but this whole revelation about the fact the Bush administration is searching financial records to trace terrorist money that the New York Times revealed just a few days ago, whether you believe they should have or they shouldn't have, no one is denying that the story is true. No one's saying they're wrong about it, right, that they're lying about it. But this friend actually said that the reason there's an alternate media, and I'm assuming she's talking like about Fox News and talk radio, because you can't be meaning the blogs. You wouldn't think she thinks that you get the truth from the blogs, right, liberal or conservative, because they're pretty far out there. I mean, there's some decent ones, but the ones that have the biggest audiences are the ones that are the most outrageous, and they, like a good op-ed columnist, they focus on their argument and they ignore the evidence on the other side. That's what George Will does. That's what all the op-ed columnists do. But she said that we have an alternate media now because the mainstream media have no credibility anymore. And I'm thinking, I didn't get a chance to talk with her about it. I didn't try and contradict her in public. But that's just an absurd statement, that the mainstream media has no credibility. You can say that you think they're biased, that they have a slant, all right? But in general, what you read in major newspapers in this country and what you see reported, and I'm talking news reports, not opinion pieces, right, or the opinion shows that are on the cable networks, those things are pretty much true. Now, there may be a slant to some of the stories. It depends on it, you know. But where else are you going to get something that's more objective? Not from talk radio, not from op-ed columnists, not from the editorial pages of these newspapers. And so, you know, I read the Washington Post every day. I've tried the Washington Times. I just think their coverage is a bit thin. It's not worth the money that I pay to have a second newspaper. I can read some of the Times online. I read plenty of other stuff online, so I get a range of opinions. I read more conservative columnists than I read liberal columnists. But for straight news, The Washington Post gives you a pretty good take on what's going on, you know. And to, for people to believe, and Russia's been putting this story out there for, you know, better part of 20 years, that the mainstream media is fabricating this somehow. They're not telling the truth, or they're doing whatever. You know, you can argue around the margins with the facts of a case or the slant that a paper puts on it. You know, the headline may say Bush on defensive as opposed to Bush does this or that. And you can say, well, they're anti-Bush or something. But the story's going out there. And I heard this said tonight, too, at this meeting. Someone who agreed with her said that, well, you know, a lot of the media, just all they do is hate Bush. That's just too simplified. You know, professionals in the business are plugged into news, and they want to put out news. And they may have opinions about this administration or the last administration, but this idea that they're out to support one administration entirely and then attack another administration entirely, it just doesn't ring true. You know, I wouldn't even accuse Fox News of that, even though I think Fox News is a more biased network than the other networks. And I was talking to a guy tonight about this, and he was talking about how, well, you know, if you're liberal, you go to CNN or MSNBC, and if you're conservative, you go to Fox News. I said, well, do you see a difference between them? He says, no. He says, the others are as liberal as Fox is conservative. And I said to him, well, are there conservative shows on CNN and on MSNBC? And he couldn't think of them, but I gave him the names of them. You know, I'll stick with MSNBC to keep this short. Both Tucker Carlson has a one-hour show every evening on MSNBC, and Joe Scarborough. So out of the 4 hours in the evening, if you think of prime time as being 4 hours long, and some people say it's 3 hours long, two of the four shows are hosted by conservatives. And I said, and does Fox News have any shows? And they don't. The closest thing you can come to a conservative hosting a show on Fox News is Hannity and Combs, which, as we've talked about before, is better thought of as the Harlem Globetrotters beating up on the Washington Generals every night. You know, Hannity runs that show, and Combs sits there and takes his licks, and he may get a shot in once in a while. He may score some points, but he never wins. And it's not because the liberal arguments don't carry weight. It's because they stack with conservative guests, and Hannity's clearly the power broker on that show. It's his show.
He wears the pants in that relationship.
He wears the pants. So anyway, back to the two stories on WMD. So yesterday in the Washington Post did a nice article about a guy who's retired from the CIA who said that he warned Tennant about curveball and that all this stuff about WMD that was coming out of Germany was wrong, that particularly the biological weapons labs. And when he saw a draft of Powell's speech, he crossed it out and kicked it up the line and said, you know, this isn't reliable. The Germans know it. We know it. And it still stayed in the speech that Powell gave. So he kind of is laying this at George Tenet's doorstep. Tenet saying he never saw any comments from anyone that contradicted this. But this is an in-depth report, and I don't know if, you know, the Washington Post has some information wrong in this, but I'm not seeing any coverage of it today. And it's okay that you know, the mainstream media is not all over this. But my point, I guess, is that the liberal shows, whatever they are, if you think Hardball is liberal, or you think, I know Keith Overman's left of center compared to somebody like Bill O'Reilly, who's right of center, but they're not all over this and preaching that, oh, this is terrible or whatever. It's just the facts are coming out about how WMD were dealt with. But the story on the other side, the converse, is how the Rick Santorum announcements were dealt with last week. So if you haven't been paying attention, two Republican senators, Rick Santorum, Republican in the fight of his life for re-election from Pennsylvania, and a representative, Peter Hoekstra of Minnesota, did a news conference and have been on several shows making the claim that the weapons of mass destruction have been found in Iraq, and Fox News is jumping all over it. Now, it turns out that we know what has been found in Iraq, and this is not news, and I will get to that. In fact, let's start there, because just 4 days ago, on June 22nd, on NPR's Talk of the Nation, Neil Conan, who's the host, interviewed Charlie Dulfer. Now, he wrote the Dulfer report that everybody cites as the authority on weapons of mass destruction. It's kind of the final report on this. You know, the Bush administration had 1,500 people looking for a year and a half before they were to issue a final report and say there are no weapons of mass destruction. But Neil Conan asked Charles Dulfer, quote, "The report says hundreds of WMDs were found in Iraq. Does this change any of the findings in your report?" Dulfer, "No, the findings of the report were basically to describe the relationship of the regime with weapons of mass destruction generally." And I'm going to skip ahead here. Quote, "But the ones that have been found are left over from the Iran-Iraq war." Now, that war was fought between 1980 and 1988 during the Reagan administration. "They were almost 20 years old, and they are in a decayed fashion. It is very interesting that there's so many that were unaccounted for, but they don't constitute a weapon of mass destruction, although they could be a local hazard." The host, "So these were weapons of mass destruction that the Bush administration said they were going into Iraq? Were these the weapons of mass destruction the Bush administration said they were going into Iraq to find?" Right, asking a pretty innocuous question because he's trying not to slant it, but Santorum was out there claiming the weapons of mass destruction have been found. And Dulfer says, "No, these do not indicate an ongoing weapons of mass destruction program as had been thought to exist before the war." And that was the claim, that there was an existing weapons of mass destruction program. "These are leftover rounds, which Iraq probably didn't even know they had. Certainly the leadership was unaware of their existence, because they made very clear they'd gotten rid of their programs as a prelude to getting out of the sanctions." Okay, so he goes on to explain sarin gas agents decay, mustard gas decays, and so these weapons may have been a local hazard, but and could have been exploded by insurgents. In fact, that a couple of IEDs had been used with some of this old stuff in them, but they're local hazards only, not what we consider weapons of mass destruction. So that's what you get from a news organization like NPR. They ask the right questions, they go to the experts, and the experts say, "Nah, these aren't really the WMD that we were looking for." And this is Bush's guy, you know, that wrote the final report. But then you listen to how it got played up after Rick Santorum and Hoekstra held a news conference and went on different shows and said they'd found the weapons of mass destruction. Here's Santorum. And this was the press conference that they gave on June 21st, I think. "Congressman Hoekstra and I are here today to say we have found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, chemical weapons. It's a document that was developed by our intelligence community, which for the last 2.5 months I have been pursuing. And thanks to the help of the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, he was able to get his hands on, I was able to look at it. This is an incredibly, in my mind, significant finding. The idea that, as my colleagues have repeatedly said in this debate on the other side of the aisle, there were no weapons of mass destruction is, in fact, false. We have found over 500 weapons of mass destruction, and in fact have found that there were additional weapons of mass, chemical weapons, still in the country that need to be recovered." Okay, so we know what it was. These are degraded weapons that existed long before the Gulf War of 91, when we threw Saddam out of Kuwait and put him under sanctions. And they were buried in the desert, and Iraq didn't even remember where they were buried. Or they might have turned them in. But they weren't something anybody would go back and uncover and use later, because we know that the sarin gas and all of that degrades. So when we come back, I'm going to go through a few of the brains on Fox News who jumped on this and now want apologies from the liberals who keep saying there were no weapons of mass destruction, because clearly we found them.